You've got to start from the beginning. You've got to learn the Amazon platform before you can then take your service to market. You've sold some product on Amazon and it's not really working out for you. What are the other ways to make money is to become the Amazon agent. One of the questions to consider if you're thinking about becoming an Amazon agent is most people who go through this Amazon journey, there's a lot of failure rate. And the reason why is because I'm Matthew Fraser and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. Hey, welcome to Amazon Ecom Secrets. My name is Matthew Fraser. And in today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about some of the different ways where you can make money using Amazon. Specifically, I want to hone in on one which is very, very rarely spoken about, which is becoming an Amazon agent. Now, what is an Amazon agent? How much money do they make? And is this a possibility for you? This question sort of always comes up when I'm doing coaching calls with people is, what are other ways to make money on Amazon? Most people think the only way is to either come up with your own product or license another product and sell it on Amazon. But what if I was to tell you there's a way where you don't even have to own the product, you don't have to invent the product, you could simply become an Amazon agent, which means you're simply acting on behalf of another person to sell their product. You're managing their Amazon seller account. Now, sounds really simple, right? But of course, there's a few things that you're going to have to know before you step into that type of position. The first thing would be, actually, how does the Amazon ecosystem even work? How does a Seller Central account even work? And so that's why my clients that I see, I say, look, let's go through the very, very basics. Let's get an Amazon account open. Let's get a test product into the system so you can learn the ecosystem, how to ship something in from China, how to make sales, how to optimize the listing, how to look after customers. How does the money system work within Amazon? You know, do you have to put money in? When do they pay you? Knowing all those intricacies is going to help you to become a better Amazon seller. And most people who go through this Amazon journey, look, there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of failure rate. And the reason why is because, in my opinion, they don't have a mentor or a coach, because that is going to help you fast track your way to success within the Amazon space. But let's say you've gone through all that, you've sold some product on some products on Amazon, and it's not really working out for you. What are the other ways to make money is to become the Amazon agent. So what you would do is you would have to speak to other Amazon brand owners or just brand owners in general and put forward your service to them to say that you would like to manage their account. Most times you're going to have to get into some sort of a community to network and understand who are the different players, who could use your service. It could also mean you go knocking on doors and speak to existing brands, perhaps they're already on Amazon, you approach them, or maybe you advertise your service on something like Fiverr or Upwork so that other brands can find you as the Amazon agent. And the next question that always comes up is, how do I monetize that? What is the system? Do I charge an hourly rate? Do I charge a monthly fee? Do I take a percentage of profits, right? And there's a whole heap of ways which you can negotiate with the brand owner in order to manage their account. I think the easiest way would be to do a monthly rate. And I think in today's economy, it's probably going to be somewhere around $1,000 to $2,000 a month, depending on what sort of workload is involved with a particular brand. If it's a huge brand that's going to require a lot of work, maybe you might want a bit more. But if it's a very, very small brand, not much work, maybe $500 even a month. Now imagine, let's just use the average of say $1,000 a month. You would only have to get, let's say, five brands to manage, and then you've got a passive income. Well, I say passive. You've got an income coming in that you didn't have to really do much for as far as stock inventory, look after all the expenses of operating their business, and you're just managing the brand's account. You could make like $5,000 on the side. You could literally do this around a day job. Some of the other ways to monetize that would be through not just taking a sort of a fee per month, but think about a percentage of profits. So it would be up to you to make great sales. Yeah, and that might be through helping them optimize the listing, through doing PPC, which is pay-per-click. Perhaps you become the person who is so good at doing advertising within Amazon that you can really crank up the dial and get the advertising really working to increase the sales. So let's just say you can get a brand up to doing $100,000 a month and you say, look, I'm just going to take 10% of gross sales. 10% of $100,000 is $10,000. Now that would be, you would forfeit the upfront, let's say the $1,000 a month, and just say, look, I'm so confident in what I can do for you and your brand through my agency that I'm going to just simply charge percentage of gross sales, right? So $10,000 would be amazing. Imagine if you could get a company and you could get them to $250,000 a month. You're talking $25,000 to you every single month. And just let me remind you, you didn't have to come up with the brand. You didn't have to do a trademark. You didn't have to do a patent. You didn't have to invest all the money into inventory. You didn't have to pay for the PPC, right? All that is still being covered by the brand owner. But what you're doing is you're managing the whole account. Now, why would a company do that? It's a great question. And the reason why a company would do that is because they're time poor. If you've got a company, let's say they're doing $100,000 a month on Amazon USA, but generally they're probably not just on Amazon USA. They've probably got a UK account, they've got an Australian account, they're selling through potentially their own Shopify store right across the world. Maybe they're even in bricks and mortar stores. And this one little piece of the puzzle of selling on Amazon is just something that is just taking up a lot of time for them or something they don't even want to do. And if you come in a knight in shining armor and say, I'll take that all away for you. I will handle the whole account process for you. And I'm only going to charge a percentage of sales. That could be a winning formula for you and also the brand owner. So let's talk about what are the negatives to being an agent for an Amazon account. And the negatives are really a few things. One is that it's not your brand. So you're putting in a lot of time and effort to help build this brand on the Amazon platform, and there's no reward for you down the track, which means that if it was your brand, you're putting in a lot of time and effort into it and day in and day out, and the brand's building, the sales are building. And then let's say 3 years down the track, you decide to sell that brand for $5 million. That now is not your money because you are just an agent. Okay, so here's something that I think you could possibly do is, and I've done this in the past with one of my products. Now, although I wasn't an agent, I realized at some point that the manufacturer and or the brand owner could sell his business. So what did I do? I put a clause in the contract. This is the exclusive distribution contract. I put a clause in there to say that if he was to sell his company to somebody else, and I was possibly removed out of the equation as the exclusive distributor for his product on many platforms across the world, I would either get one or two things. My last year's profit as a lump sum, or 10% of the gross sale price, whichever was the greatest. Did you hear that again? My last year's sales profit, or 10% of the gross sale price of his company, whichever was the greatest amount. Okay. Now we're talking, this company has the potential to sell for anywhere from $50 million plus. This is a global company that I have exclusive distribution on. And if he was to sell for $50 million, what's 10% of that? That's $5 million. So that would be a win for me. And that was something I put in the contract to make sure that I wasn't left in the lurch if he was to go off and sell his business. So back to the agency model, thinking about that, that could potentially be something you put in. However, if I was the brand owner and you came to me and said, I want to be an agent, it's probably not something I would put in there. There'd have to be a really, really big upside for me as the brand owner to put something in there like that. But what you may want to have in there is something to give you, let's say, the first right of refusal when doing an agency model for other territories. So let's think about this. Let's say that you are the agent for this particular brand in Amazon USA. You've now proven yourself. The sales are going so great. The brand owner is thrilled with you. But somebody else comes up and says they now want to sell that same product in the UK. Now, under your agreement, because you had the first right of refusal, the brand owner would have to offer you that territory first. And that way you could secure that territory and then essentially another agency income for that whole new territory. Look, a question that comes up all the time is, should I start out as an agent? Yeah, particularly amongst some of my coaching clients, because they're thinking that's the easier way to market. I don't have to have my own brand or my own product. And the answer is, it is an easier way because you don't have to have all those things. However, you still have to know the Amazon platform. There's no way that a brand owner is going to hand you the keys to their Amazon business if you don't have any experience whatsoever. So that's why I always say to my clients, you've got to start from the beginning. You've got to learn the Amazon platform, the ins and outs. I suggest they get a product to market so they understand the full process from finding something in China, shipping it all the way through to the USA, for example, selling it, learning PPC, et cetera. So that is definitely something you need to do. You fundamentally need to build your knowledge, get your experience before you can then take your service to market. That could be considered another con in thinking about whether or not you want to be an agent for another Amazon brand. So I've just spoken about being an agent for a brand on Amazon. But what are some of the other ways you could become a seller for somebody else's brand, but perhaps without being an agent specifically? And that would be tying up the product under someone else's product under an exclusive distribution agreement. And how does that now look as far as money? There are a few ways you could tie this up. One would be you buy the products from the brand owner for a particular cost and sell them on Amazon. The other way would be the Amazon brand owner could provide you the inventory, the stock, the product for absolutely no money down. And that would be considered consignment sales. So once the product sells, you now have to pay the brand owner back. The other way would be a consignment still, but a profit split. So that would mean the product cost might be $50. You're going to sell the product for $100 and you've already predetermined with the brand owner that you're going to share the remaining $50. So you get $25 and the brand owner gets $25. So there are many different ways to split this up in different percentages so that it's a win for you and also a win for the brand owner. Now, while we're on the topic of agents and dealing with brand owners, I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. And he said, and he's in the Amazon space and he's been in the Amazon space for years and years, but he just hasn't made it yet. He's one of these guys who he goes to a lot of conferences, he gets a lot of coaching from different people, but he just hasn't taken the steps required. And there's something internally, I think, that's holding him back. And I was talking to him about obviously what I do. I have an exclusive distribution on a healthcare product that I sell globally. I didn't invent it, okay? And I said, why don't you either do that or why don't you become an agent? Because you understand how the Amazon system works. You know a lot of people. His network is vast. And I said, you could simply get out of your day job, which he kind of doesn't really want to do. You want to get out of your day job and you could potentially make $5,000, $10,000 a month simply being an agent for somebody else's brand. And he sort of looked down and he looked up at me and he said, Matt, I wouldn't want to do something like that. I said, well, why not? He said, well, I've just got this thing. I just feel like I need to own the brand. I need to become the brand owner. And I said, you're basically trying that. It's not even working. So why don't you get out of your day job by taking on agency roles and at least you're going to gain more experience working in the Amazon space, continue building up your network, and then by doing the sales, you might also come across other products that you yourself might want to become the brand owner for. And I said, thinking about that, what about the gentleman called Simon Baird, one of the greatest entrepreneurial stories in Australian history right now? And he was the creator with his wife of Culture Kings. Now, as the owner of Culture Kings, he wasn't even selling his own brand. He had a store that was selling other people's brands. So do you think that he walks down the street now and is holding his head in shame because he's made all of his money off other people's brands that he sold in his store? Absolutely not. He doesn't give a shit about that. He created a brand of the store, yeah, which is essentially he was the agent for other people's brands, but he did it in such an incredible way that he was able to leverage his store power and himself to take his sales to the next level and ultimately do something in the hundreds of millions of dollars as an exit, and is now kicking ass on the Gold Coast, driving Lambos and stuff. So I said to my friend, wouldn't you rather do that than sit in your crappy job right now and doing absolutely nothing and wishing that you could be in his position? One of the questions to consider when if you're thinking about becoming an Amazon agent is, should I sign a contract to be the exclusive seller of a particular brand? Is that brand now trying to lock me out of potentially taking on extra work? And my answer to you is that it's really something that needs to be considered on a case-by-case basis. Let's say the brand that's coming to you is, let's think of a really, really good brand like Nike. Let's say Nike is coming to you and they want you to be the exclusive seller. You're not allowed to sell for anybody else on Amazon. What are you going to say? Are you going to say no? No, I don't want to sign that contract. You're going to say absolutely fucking yes. I'm going to take that deal with both hands and run with it, right? But if it's some obscure brand that you've never heard of that maybe, I don't know, is in the kitchenware niche or something, and they're trying to tie you up, but the sales probably aren't going to be as big as something like a Nike or anywhere close to it, then I would, if it was my first deal, I may consider it because I want to get a run on the board. Because what I would do though is I would make sure that I was only going to be secured against, let's say, if they were in the kitchenware niche, you would say, look, I promise I won't sell any other kitchenware, which means you're open to selling other things like homewares, t-shirts, shoes, mechanical things, automotive, skincare ranges. So there's still a lot left on the table for you to go and secure from other brands. If you're thinking about becoming an Amazon brand agent, one thing that might come up, which comes up with some of my clients, is imposter syndrome. You know, am I good enough to be an Amazon agent? What are these brands even going to say to me? How do I approach these brands? You know, I don't have many runs on the board, so am I good enough to do it? These are all natural fears that a lot of people face, not just in this industry, but most industries. But you've got to push through those fears. And I can tell you, the one way to get good and break down those fears is to build experience and build knowledge. And the only way you can do that is by taking action. So go get an Amazon training course. Go meet up with a mentor like myself. Go onto YouTube and just do your own research and get the ball rolling, because knowledge equals power, which equals experience, and you take things to the next level. So we've highlighted one particular method in detail about becoming an Amazon agent. But there are so many other ways to sell on Amazon. And I've covered a lot of them myself. I haven't personally done the agency model, but I want to tell you a story about that and why I wish I had have become the agent. And I was at a conference one day looking for products, and there was a particular brand there called Dynamic Tape. And this is a tape, it was like a sports tape, and the brand owner, actually the inventor of this Dynamic Tape, was at the conference showcasing his products. And I was on the hunt for products to take to market on Amazon USA. And so I stumbled across this product and I thought, wow, what a fantastic product. It was unique. The design was unique. The inventor was right there. I could speak directly to him. And I quickly checked Amazon and realized it was a huge market. Like, I literally just pulled out my phone and just started checking the details of what was in the US to get some sort of understanding of what the Amazon sports tape niche was like before I started a conversation with him. And it was massive, right? As you can appreciate, a huge, huge industry of sports tape in Amazon USA. So I thought, wow, this could be an incredible opportunity for me. So, and this, here's the thing though, as I looked on Amazon USA, I realized, because what I'm trying to find is a product that's not on Amazon USA. But when I looked on the app, wow, this product was already selling in Amazon USA. So how did I engage this guy? You know what I did? I approached him, and his name's Ryan. And hi, my name's Matthew. I'm an Amazon e-com seller. I look to take products global. And Ryan, you've got an amazing product here, I said, but I'm looking at, you've got this listed in Amazon USA, and you know what? It looks shit. So I said to him, I said, it looks so bad. I said, what have you done? Who's controlling this? I said, you've got horrible pictures. And I'm not joking. They had the worst pictures you could possibly think of, just like done with an iPhone, right? Nothing, just so horrible. Horrible key, no keywords, no title, no SEO. I think it was like one picture. And it really was a really bad listing. And so I've just told him straight up to his face, man, your listing is shit. I said, these guys, whoever is selling your product in Amazon USA, they're ruining your brand. And that hit him, right? This is the inventor. Imagine he's put his life into inventing this particular sports tape. His face is behind it, right? If you went onto YouTube, you could see him everywhere. Dynamic Tape, Ryan, you can find him. And he's a great guy, but what had happened was, and I see this with a lot of inventors, is he invented the product, but then kind of just let it go, just sort of gave it to whoever wanted to sell it. And the problem with that was he just lost sight of the landscape and the possibilities of what Amazon provides, okay? So some random person has simply picked up his product, threw it up on Amazon, and did a horrible, horrible job. But did you know Amazon is one of, if not the largest search engines for products in the world? So when people are going to Amazon, they're typing in dynamic tape and boom, up comes his listing and it looks like crap. So what do you think that says about the brand? So as I'm telling this to Ryan at this conference or the trade show, I'm saying, look, what we could do is I could actually take over, we'll get rid of all these sellers, I'll take over the brand and we can start making sales together and we'll take things to a whole new level. We'll do better pictures, better SEO, we'll do proper PPC. And what ultimately ended up happening with that was I did a deal where we put the products into USA, no money down. I didn't take a single cent out of my pocket to put into inventory. And the deal was, it was on consignment. So when the product sold, I would then split the profit. And it was actually a 50-50 profit split, right? And he was happy with this, yeah? He was thrilled that I had approached him to do this deal. So one lesson there is don't be afraid of approaching people, especially when you see something like this where the listing is bad. In fact, now that I think of it, that could be something for you to check out. You could actually go onto Amazon right now and just start scouring the shelves, so to speak, and find really, really bad listings. Okay. Now, as I said before, what does a bad listing look like? It's got one crappy picture. It's got hardly anything in the title. It might just have a brand name and no other keywords. It might have no bullet points. It's going to have no SEO whatsoever. So even finding the product might even be difficult. So that could be something that you could do right now. Go to Amazon, find a crappy product, and then reach out to that brand owner and say, I've found your brand on Amazon. It looks maybe, I don't know how you want to nuance those words. I could say to it because I was, you know, face to face, but and say, look, I think your product could be better on Amazon and look, see where it goes, right? You never know. You could end up becoming the person that does a deal very, very similar to this. Now, what I want to get to is how I structured the deal. Like I said before, consignment and a 50-50 profit split. So what would happen is Ryan would send, or I would organize with Ryan to send products into Amazon FBA in the US. And then after, it was about 3 months, yeah, I would give him a report sort of every month I would report to him the sales. There was a lot of trust here, by the way, a lot of trust. But the good thing with the brand owner should know, if you're watching this, is that everything in Amazon is documented, right? You can't really fudge the figures. You can send through reports, but you don't really type them up yourself, right? So there's a lot of transparency there for both parties. So about every 3 months, I would send through the report and then we would reconcile the profit, meaning that I was receiving all the money. That's something else to note too. I wasn't taking over his listing on Amazon, right? It was my own listing in my own Amazon account and all the money was coming to me. So as you can imagine there, a lot of trust, right? So all the money's coming into my account and then every 3 months we would reconcile. I would give him the sales report, tell him what the profit was because I was also taking out of that PPC. So it was a net, okay, net of the cost of the goods and after Amazon fees and PPC. And then he would then just simply invoice me for whatever the split was. Now, ultimately, over time, I think if I looked at that compared to some other models, then you only really know in hindsight, though, to be honest. But I would have been better off if I had charged Ryan an agency fee, right? This is where I'm getting to. I would have been better off if I charged Ryan an agency fee of anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a month, because that ultimately would have guaranteed my income rather than having to work out the profit. Because if I spend a lot of money in PPC, there could potentially be no profit and then I'd be left with nothing, right? So he would then take on all the risk. I would simply manage his account, and then ultimately I would have ended up with a guaranteed salary, really, for doing all the work for his particular brand. So, and you're probably thinking, well, Matt, what ultimately ended up happening with that product? Well, my other healthcare product became so big, and this was the one that ultimately has done now over $40 million in sales. But it was kind of new around that time when I took on Dynamic Tape. My healthcare product got so massive that it really kind of just lost interest, and it was just taking up time that was unnecessary considering how great my other sales were. So I was kind of winding it down. But then what happened, just when I was about to sort of let it go and hand the product back to the brand owner, the brand owner actually ended up selling his business to a whole new entity anyway. Now, the sales weren't huge, so I just said, yeah, absolutely, no problem. And there is another lesson in this story too, because when I wound everything up, I was absolutely transparent and honest with him, because integrity in this business, particularly for me, is key. So I gave back all of the outstanding stock. We reconciled all the numbers. We got all the money, and I always pay things quick. I never leave people waiting. So they send the invoice, they get paid. Now, he then sold that business to another entity who took on all the sales then. So I was happy to kind of let it go anyway, because I wasn't making a lot of money out of it, because my other healthcare product had taken off by that stage. Now, integrity, as I said, integrity is key. And Ryan ended up contacting me, coincidentally, only 2 weeks ago, and asked if I was willing to take the product back on, because he'd done another deal with the existing company and he's taking the product back into his own possession. And I said, look, Ryan, I'm really sorry, but I'm actually moved on from doing those types of deals now. I don't do any agency or consignment splits really anymore. I'm open to it. If you want to contact me, I'm open to it, but I don't do so much of it anymore. And so therefore I gave him some contacts of some other people who I know in the industry who could help him out anyway. So it was good though that he'd come back to me, because I showed a lot of integrity and honesty through the whole years of working with him. So when thinking about the story with Ryan and Dynamic Tape, there's a couple of takeaways I want you to think about. One is take action. You know, there was a time where I was going from trade show to trade show, just talking to people, talking to brand owners, talking to the inventors, and just getting conversations going. You know, I would speak to lots of people at these trade shows, and sometimes I get 3 leads out of it, but ultimately maybe 1 actually came through, where like in Ryan's case, where I actually end up selling his product. But if you don't go to these trade shows and you don't talk to people, ultimately nothing will happen. So that's the first takeaway. And the second takeaway is, when you're dealing with anybody, now it doesn't matter whether it's business or whether it's Amazon selling, when you're dealing with people, you've always got to come in to those relationships with honesty and integrity, because like what's happened in my case, you never know what could happen in the future, and those opportunities could come back to you down the road. All right, thanks guys. I really hope you've enjoyed that episode. If you'd like to become part of my free community, please look down at the show notes. There's a link down there. You can click on that, come through. I've got lots of free resources there, and you can also join my monthly Q&A, where you might be able to, you can talk to me directly and ask questions about some of the things that I've either mentioned on this show or others in the past. And if you could do me a big, big favor, I'd love it if you would leave me a 5-star review for Spotify and Apple. It really mean a lot and help the show grow so I can reach more people and help those who need it. Thank you so much, guys. Take care. See you in the next one. Bye now. Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.